Hey, what's up, listener? Thanks for pressing play. It's episode 93 of the Jock and Nerd Podcast. You're going to get to meet another great listener turned podcast guest. First time comic book writer Jim McPike joins us for the show today. Jim is both a jock and nerd. So we talk about everything from wrestling to League of Legends and, of course, comic books.
Jocktastic!
It's a jocktastic good time with Jim McPike. Check it out!
It's the Jockey Nerd Podcast with your hosts, Anthony and Imran.
Jockey Nerd! Yahoo, listener! Thanks for joining us. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
And he's the nerd.
And this is the Jock and Nerd Podcast. We're very glad you're tuning in. We got a great in-studio guest, another listener-turned-guest. I love this.
Yeah, it's always good when we have someone write in that wants to be on the show that right? is creative and does
Come
things.
On down. Joining us today is comic book writer Jim McPike. Jim, what's up, man?
Not much. What's up with you, Imran?
Nothing. I love the man walked up. He parked down the street. And I was like, I wonder who he's going to be. And I see literally Captain America walking down my block like a hoodie, like my Spider-Man hoodie. Full Captain America hoodie with the mask. And I was like, I think that's the dude.
He's already cooler than you.
Geek boner. Well, that's not hard to do, people. Come on. No, Jim is how Jim ended up here is he was coached by Andrew Gildy,
who we've had on the show.
Exactly 10 episodes ago, episode 83, Jock and Nerd Podcast. Our first listener turned guest who just is writing a comic book for Grey Haven and what was his other? Oh, Man of Sin.
Man of Sin.
Kickstarter. And
that Kickstarter's done really well.
Gildy.
He got it fully funded.
Yep. Gildy, congratulations. Shout out to funding your Kickstarter. It's very exciting.
He killed that, like, I think with like 10 days left or 9 days left, he was already way over the goal.
He killed the Kickstarter. He killed the downloads to his episode. I got to thank Andrew for pushing it out, and he's gotten us new listeners like Jim, who have turned into a guest who's also writing comic book. It's fantastic.
It's like Circle of Life or some shit.
Before, right? It's Hakuna Matata. Right. I don't know.
Oh, shit.
Wait, I was just watching Lion King.
Were you?
No, I wasn't. No, I was watching Black-ish, where they were watching Lion King.
Okay.
So that kind of
same thing.
It's the same thing.
It reminds me of the new Jungle Book that's coming out pretty soon.
Yeah, but it's weird that
dark
like,
and gritty Jungle Book.
Right, it's like a DCEU Jungle Book.
Oh shit!
The thing is, look, they're real animals.
There's murder.
But when they start talking, it's a little bit weird. Are they going to be singing? It's like Baloo.
I don't think they're going to sing.
Is it like a bear just going to do a song and dance?
I don't know.
It's kind of odd. Before we get into Jim's story and what he does. If you listen to the show, listener, if you're following along, we're having a little ongoing, engaged conversation over our Batman vs. Superman review show with one listener, David Zika, on Facebook. And David, we just want to say right now, thank you for writing in. He wrote a pretty awesome,
lengthy, extensive email with points, counterpoints to our points.
That's what we wanted.
He put a lot of thought into it, so we have to respect the guy for not only listening to the show, but caring enough to write back to us and...
Absolutely.
Awesome.
And having like a civil geek debate, you know, with all like the crazy fanboy shit that's been going on. This is actually very nice. It's setting a good example. Zika, man, thanks. We're going to share your email next episode.
It might be too long to read the entire
thing. That's the thing. We'll do a little snippet. I was very excited. This is what I want. Write in, people. show@jockandnerd.com. All right. Well, let's get back to
another guy that wrote in.
Jim Hurd. How do you know Andrew Gildy, first of all?
He was my wrestling coach for my junior C and senior year of high school. And then he was the guy who sort of started me down the
writing comics path.
Yeah, because he was like, because he had a bunch of them. And so he would just like freely, he's just like, here, why don't you read, you know, this one. And I'm like, okay, coach.
So had you read comic books before that?
A little bit. It was kind of like a perfect storm where I was just seeing, because, you know, I grew up watching Spider-Man, the movies, and I think Dark Knight had come out a couple of years before that. So it was, you know, so I was kind of like, yeah, maybe this should be something I get back into, you know, from like the cartoons.
Absolutely. How old are you, dude?
I am 22.
Ooh, a youngin!
Probably the youngest guest we've had on the show.
I feel old.
Yeah, you're old as shit.
But look, this
you just
is,
turned 40.
I turned 40.
Oh, holy shit.
Right? There you go.
Oh, shit.
I'll even give you...
Oh, shit!
I'll do the horns, because 40 deserves the horns. But look, this is the next generation of
writers.
Fans of writers, of creators. So it's very important because long gone are the days where comic book companies kind of develop talent anymore.
DC's doing something now.
That's true. They have a new artist talent workshop for writers and artists. Very exciting. Yeah. But the first thing I've seen in a long time.
Yeah. They're I think grasping at straws at this point, so
it might be a little bit of desperation, a little bit of new blood. But
I have a question. Was it weird having your wrestling coach handing out comic books to like the
wrestlers? Not really. He's a great coach because he was really big. You know, he was very encouraging when we needed it. He was really tough on us when we needed it, and you know, he worked really hard to be really approachable. So, you know, whenever we had a free period, we would used to go and hunt him down because he, at the time, he was working as like a hall monitor type person for the high school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
So then, yeah, we would go hunt him down and just bother him and, you know, pretend we were talking about the lineup. But
I was going to ask if he was a good coach, and that's really good to hear because Gildy, man, he, like yourself, jock and nerd, but right. able to inhabit both sides and bring people together. And, you know, cross these things, which is important. How is that? So you're kind of a jock and nerd, obviously. Yeah. You're wearing a fucking Captain America hoodie.
But you wrestle in college right now.
You wrestle.
Wrestling shirt. Nice. Right on under it.
And the man is in – you are a Marine reservist?
Yes.
That's awesome. So was it hard, like, growing up and kind of dealing with these two sides?
A little bit. I think of it like when I was first, I was like 14, just coming into high school. I was like, oh, man, I'm too cool for that shit. But then it's –
were you a closeted nerd?
Not, yeah, it's just, I yeah. just didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
a little bit, and it didn't come up.
Right? Yeah.
So I, but then as I got older, I just kind of stopped giving a fuck and was just like, you know what, this shit's cool, so I'm just going to do it because all the cool kids are douchebags anyways. So.
Anthony?
yes,
but
this
then,
is true.
Like, but then you,
I'm a douchebag.
Your paths cross with someone like Andrew, who's like, look, I love wrestling. Here's some comic books. And you're like, oh, I can get behind this.
Yeah, it's pretty like almost everything that I've accomplished up until this point can be traced in one way or another back to the push he's given me.
Wow.
Right on, dude.
Gildy's doing good.
Gildy, if you're listening, great job. So you are from Chicago, Northbrook?
Northbrook, Illinois, I was born in Chicago and raised in Northbrook.
Nice. You're currently in school?
I'm a junior at UW Parkside.
And you wrestle there?
Yes, I do.
And that's in Kenosha, and you drove down from Kenosha to be here, dude?
Yeah, dude.
What? Man, I got
what weight are you wrestling?
That's great.
Wrestled 174 for most of this last season that just wrapped up. And then I was 184 for the last two tournaments because I busted my shoulder and then it was getting better. And then it was like, oh yeah, we got a tournament next week. And I was like, well, I don't have enough time to cut back down. So going 1-4, coach. He was like, okay.
What do you walk around at?
During the season, I was like 183, 184, depending on, you know, when I last stayed. And then, right now I think I'm closer to 190 though.
You wrestlers love to fluctuate up and down.
Yep.
20 pounds in 14 hours, Gildy.
This fascinates him, right?
It's just crazy. It's like a superpower.
You called him Gildy.
I'm just saying, that's what Gildy did.
Oh, okay.
20 pounds in 14 hours.
Yeah, I remember
But
that.
It's kind of like your mutant ability.
Oh, Jesus.
I wish it was that easy. It's a shitty mutant ability.
It's the most horrible, useless power ever.
That's funny.
And you're going to wrestle next year, too?
Yeah, at least I'm going to be at school for at least the next 2 years, so I'll keep wrestling while I'm there. I mean,
what are you majoring in?
History.
Oh, really? What do you want to do? Well, obviously you want to write.
Yeah, write would be – that's the ideal scenario is I get to a point where I can make enough money writing to only write. But then I'm also doing secondary education, so my fallback plan would be to coach wrestling and then teach history. But
man's got a plan. Yeah. More of a plan than I did when I was 22. Let me tell you what.
What's your favorite part of history to study? What's your favorite time?
A lot of my work that I've been doing was on early medieval Britain and Ireland, especially the Viking Wars. There's a lot of really cool shit that happened there.
I got to recommend there's an amazing podcast called Dan Carlin's Hardcore History. I don't know if you heard of it.
I have not.
Check it out. This guy does – And you know how they say in podcasting, like, release, be consistent in your release? This guy will drop an episode, like, 3 or 4 months. Every 3 or 4 months. They're 4 hours long.
Holy shit.
But it's the most in-depth. He did this whole thing about Genghis Khan. 5 parts, 4 hours long, Genghis Khan. He did this whole thing. Dan Carlin's Hardcore History. It is the most – and the way he tells you stuff, you are so involved. It's all him researching it. It's probably one of the best history podcasts I've ever listened to.
Have you guys watched Drunk History on Comedy Central?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, oh. You know what I'm talking about.
It's the history is a little shaky, but it's funny. It's
they get,
so
they
funny.
Get these guys like wasted and then start retelling history, basically.
Oh.
That sounds like a good podcast.
And they reenact it like oh with like God, it's yeah. funny as
oh,
hell.
I got to check out Drunk
it's
History.
It's on Comedy. It's probably on demand or Netflix. So.
That sounds like it would be a good podcast.
No,
also.
It's not a podcast. It's a TV show.
But it would be a good podcast.
It's funny, though, watching them because they're drunk as fuck. And they're, like, laughing at what they're saying. And then they're reenacting it on screen. So it works on TV, Drunk History.
So how much of the history, like, that influences your writing, then, I imagine?
Oh, yeah. That's, like, George R. R. Martin.
Yeah, Game of Thrones dude.
Or not Tolkien as much, but, yeah, it's a lot. There's a lot of crossover between history and writing because there's, I mean, history. It's a collection of stories about some shit that actually happened,
right.
And then you know, it's fiction is just making up some shit that you know seems plausible. So it's
fun
it
to
works.
Play in history too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know? It's always fun to play with like things that already happened, but then like a little add a little.
Then
twist
you
to
tweak
it,
it. Like maybe Magneto was there when Kennedy got assassinated. I don't know. That maybe that's how the bullet bent over all this way. It went crazy. That could happen.
Could have. Well, probably not, but could have. So when did you start writing?
I think it was like second grade. I did like my first like just sort of roughly hand drew some really like basically just Superman clones. And then put it down, and then back in high school is when I started sort of rediscovering it and just being like, hey, wait, this is some cool shit I'd like to do.
Like creative – did you take any creative writing classes or mostly just for nope. yourself?
Mostly just by myself. It's just read some stuff, write some stuff, and you know, just teach yourself. Just I didn't – like the way they teach writing in English, that's just kind of like – Eh, this is stupid. I don't need this.
What was the first comic book you remember reading?
That I remember reading? I think V for Vendetta. That
oh,
was
snap.
That was the first one where I read it and I was just like, holy shit.
That's a dense book, dude. How old are you?
I think it was a sophomore or a junior in high school.
Okay, yeah.
That's so appropriate
it's,
age.
That's that's literature this point.
That might be the best comic book story or the best story ever told in comic books.
Have you read Watchmen?
I have read Watchmen.
Better than Watchmen?
I think it's better than Watchmen, but they're both pretty close.
Because it's almost similar themes in terms of kind of like fascism. Well, I guess one's more political, V for Vendetta being.
Watchmen's more like tearing down superheroes.
Yeah, that's deconstructing the superhero mythologies.
Zack Snyder's trying to recreate on screen.
Yeah. He's not doing the best job. But that's a story for another podcast. I'm really curious about your joining the Marine Corps right out of high school.
Yeah, it was. I went to check in to the processing center like 3 hours after I had graduated.
So, but what, when did you decide this?
I think I was, it was in junior high. I remember I had Miss Vitale, the history teacher over at St. Norbert's Catholic School. She was saying, you know, like what a cool thing it would have been if, because it's, you know, you go, you know, you do your 4 years and then you get free college and, you know, you get a bunch of life experience. And I was just like, well, shit, that sounds like a pretty cool, you know, it sounds like a good way to go. And then from there, I just sort of decided I was going to do it. And then as time went on, it just became more and more ingrained as something I wanted to do. Like if there's this book, One Bullet Away, written by a Marine officer that was in Afghanistan and Iraq in the early stages. And he says, He wanted to join because, as a direct quote from him, there was no longer a place in the world for a young man who wanted to wear armor and slay dragons.
Oh, wow.
So I was, so then, you know, I read that and I was just like, yeah, that's, you know, I want to do something worth writing about. is a
for
lot
experience.
Of it.
So, but you went in as a reservist specifically. What's a reservist?
It's 1 weekend a month, 2 weeks in the summer. Yeah, that was my dad talked me into it. He was saying, like, you know, you can still go and do that, but then you can work on some other stuff in the meantime, and it's worked out pretty well so far.
I've heard a lot of people do that, and they give up their weekends, and but
so you just give up your you just give up your weekends.
Well, 1 weekend a month, that's not even.
Could you be? Could they?
Weekend.
Could they call them to duty?
Yeah,
to active battle, you could be called.
It's when I was in boot camp. I had a drill instructor who was saying, like, all you dumbass reservists who, you know, signed up for the infantry, you're going to get deployed just as much as the active duty. But then, of course, by the time I got done with boot camp, the war for the Marine Corps
down.
Was basically over. Was so done. They weren't sending anyone else.
Now, how rough is boot camp?
It's...
And does everyone goes to the same boot camp despite you're just a reservist or whatever?
Yeah. Okay. It's every Marine does the same three-month program, and it's... The first month is really, really miserable. But it's the quicker you just sort of shut down, you know, you just stop fighting it. You just, you know, fall in line.
Yeah.
Then that's, you know, that's like usually by the end of the first month, a lot of people have done that. And then the next month is just sort of you just learning to not give a fuck. And then then the last month you're just there, and then you're, you know, learning how to, you know, just be not like the Marines you see it, like more of, you know, fitting into the real Marine Corps.
So they kind of want like a blank slate, and they're kind of molding you.
They not so much is because it's a process because they want – they want a certain personality type.
Oh.
You know, just really, you know, really aggressive, really, you know, willing to attack. But then it's, you know, you just sort of, in the process, they get this, you know, smart ass, don't give a fuck kind of person eventually.
Yeah.
And that's what you've become?
Yeah. I think of it as being, it strips away everything that, you know, is just sort of like some of the bullshit you build up around you.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's like, you know, this really motivated little 18-year-old kid. And then, you know, you get to, it's like, who are you really? It's what's the core of your person.
It's a reality smack to the head.
Yeah. Where it's like, why are you really here?
Right.
Like, what really drove you to, you know, do this to yourself?
Do you see a lot of people quit?
You can, but it's like only like the absolute worst actually get to quit.
Really?
Yeah. Because at that point they've already invested so much time and money into just getting you to boot camp that they can't really afford to just, you know, drop everybody. Yeah.
How much did the wrestling kind of discipline help?
Yeah, that must have helped.
Oh, a lot.
Going into
this. Yeah, a lot. Because there are guys who they couldn't do a pull-up.
Oh, boy.
And then I'm there and it's just like, yeah, okay. And
wrestling too breaks you mentally as well. So
yeah.
You're used to. You're more used to pushing your mental limits and your physical limits.
So how physically hard is boot camp?
Not if you're an athlete, it's pretty easy.
Really?
Yeah, because they have to. They have to get a program that, you know, the pudgy kids who've never exercised a day in their life and, you know, somehow decided the Marine Corps was right for them. They have to get them through it too.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, if you're, you know, I mean, like I played three sports in high school. I got there and I was like, this is kind of easy.
But there were people there who were maybe not quite the same shape.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's.
That's interesting.
But it's cool kind of seeing the progress for those people, right?
Yeah. It's the ones who, you know, don't just turn into huge ass bags.
Right. There's people that happens to.
Yeah. I mean, because they like to talk about, you know, it's like everyone, you know, it's like you earn the title Marine, but there's. You know, again, it's just the reality of the situation is some guys, they just have to, you know, drag them kicking and screaming through it, even though they would rather quit. But it's, you know, I mean, you need bodies.
So how has that helped you now going through this? Like, what is the, you just said, you know, it really asked you, why am I here? Who am I?
Because, I mean, I remember I was there and I was, you know, just one day just sitting, you know, or standing perfectly still. And, you know, I'm just online like for 20 minutes or whatever it was. And I was just like, man, you know what I'd rather be doing? Wrestling. So that's when I kind of decided, like, you know, I want to go. I want to keep wrestling. I want to keep pursuing, you know, this combat sports type thing, that path I was on. And that's a big part of who I want to be, and just keep working at that. And so that's, you know, so I got done with my training and I was just like, I want to go to school. I want to, and then I want to wrestle.
Right on. Was it hard? Because how long were you out of wrestling?
It was about 2 years before I actually got back into an organized room. But for about a year before that, Coach Gildy had set me up with one of his old friends, Connor Beebe, yeah, who coaches for Northwestern.
He mentioned him during the show, I think.
Yeah. Is he Chase Beebe's brother?
Yeah.
Yep. Chase Beebe is a UFC. He was in the WEC and won the title. And
that was Carson that won the title. Oh, was it? Okay. Yeah, and then Chase was on The Ultimate Fighter.
How many Beebes are there?
A lot.
Five.
Wow, five Beebes.
My question was, how hard was it to get back into wrestling after that time off?
The first day I spent with Coach Beebe, he just put me through it. It was that was absolute hell.
Yeah, that was out of practice.
I can only imagine, like, having like most people don't take the break; they just keep going.
Oh yeah,
and you took a break even though you were still doing physical activity.
Yeah. It's a different kind of fitness, though.
Right.
So. The mental aspect's got to be kind of the same in terms of just, you know, don't give up, keep pushing through.
Yeah, I mean, when you're, you know, getting your head, someone's trying to rip your head off. On the mat, or it's, you know, you're in the 15th kilometer of, you know, a hike with
all your shit on.
Yeah. It's
like that you say kilometer.
Yeah. It's very military.
Well, I'm not going to convert to miles.
Right. How many is that? What is that? I don't even know.
I don't even know. Who cares?
That's why you call it a 5K.
We're the only assholes that use the fucking English.
I know, because we're lazy fucks and we decided, fuck you, British people. We're going to drive on the other side of the road out of spite and we're not using your stupid measurements.
We're not going to drink fucking tea either.
And we're not drinking fucking tea. You know what? Coffee. Coffee's for Americans. No, look, I love the English. Fucking, I love tea. Some of our listeners are in England right now.
Yeah, they're great.
We got shout out to Hillingdon in Northumberland. So you're in MMA at all then?
Yeah, that was kind of the backup plan if I couldn't go and wrestle in college, because, you know, I mean, again, I'd been out for a year and. Even my high school record wasn't anything too spectacular. Mm-hmm. And so I was just kind of like, all right, well, barring that, I'm going to keep working. I was working out at a gym and then I was like, I'm going to keep working at that. And then I'll just, you know, do amateur fighting and see where that takes me.
So you had some amateur fights?
I did not. No, I got to a point where it was, because I remember I called Coach Gildy and I was just like, hey, so I'm trying to wrestle in college. This is what I'm doing. And, you know, so I was training MMA and he was like, okay, first thing you need to do is stop training jiu-jitsu.
Oh.
Jiu-jitsu. Because that's just completely.
It's the exact opposite like of wrestling. Like jiu-jitsu, you're okay being on your back.
Oh, yeah, I see. You got to break that.
Yeah, if someone, you know, dives into you, you know, fall directly onto your back and
then take care of it.
That's funny you say that, because when I got into wrestling in high school, I had done a little jiu-jitsu. So someone took me down and I was literally on my back like, all right, let's keep going. And he was like, you're an idiot, dude. No, you just lost.
So jiu-jitsu has no place in any kind of wrestling MMA environment.
So it got to the point where it was like, okay, I can do one or the other. And I was like, I can do wrestling now and then, you know, I can always go back to MMA later. So that's.
Are you a big MMA fan still, or are you?
I follow it when I can, but it's, you know, I'm in that college bubble, so there's, you know, it can get tough to follow because I don't even have a TV. So
yeah, right.
What's your goal with the wrestling Olympics?
That would be awesome. Realistically, I'd like to just keep doing it.
Okay,
you can
coach and help other people.
Yeah, it's just. So that's, I just want to keep wrestling. That's, you know, I like doing that. So that's what I'm going to keep doing.
You wrote us you trained in Korea?
Yeah, that was over the summer. My unit got shipped out there and we cross trained with the Republic of Korea Marine Corps.
Oh, wow. Shit. How's that?
It was an experience.
First time out of the country.
All Korean males are, I believe, required to join the military, right?
Well, it's like Israel, yes, too.
Yep. Yeah, it's, they have a conscripted force.
Yep. So they have a huge force then, don't they?
Not, I don't know raw numbers off the top of my head, but they had guys there that I saw. I don't,
was this,
I don't really know.
First time out of the States for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's, I think I went to Niagara Falls on the
that
Canadian
doesn't count.
Side. Yeah.
What was that like?
Yeah, tell me about the culture shock a little bit.
It's surprisingly like Wisconsin. I mean, shit.
You hear that, Wisconsin? You're doing okay.
Yeah, no, because you know, they'll tell us something and then like a month later they'll be like, never mind, we're not doing that. And it's like the number of rumors I've had that we're going to get deployed, like I just sort of stopped.
Oh.
Where it was like, we were on the airport getting ready to go and I was just like, so who's ready to go to Fort McCoy in Wisconsin? And then it was, they had the Korean Air flight pull up. And then I was just like, yeah, still don't believe it. And then it was, you know, we were on the ground and, you know, there were all the signs were in Korean. And I was just like, oh shit, I guess we're in Korea.
I'm in Korea. So what did you guys train? Did you like, were you trained with the Korean forces?
Yeah, it's same basic stuff. We had some other assets with us. We had amphibious vehicles. Ooh. that we don't get to train with those too much. So
did you make any friends out there?
There was this Korean one buddies? Guy, Choi, where I
Choi,
you know,
not at all Korean name.
I've done a couple of Choi's.
So then I traded him some, you know, we traded, you know, stuff. Definitely not gear that I was supposed to, you know, not trade. And then, you know, I got to know him and then, you know, so I was talking to him for a bit. So I walked away to go do something and then I found this other, you know, and then I come back and then there's a Korean guy. And so I'm like, so this is my buddy Choi. And he's like, I'm not Choi, man. Like, oh, shit. Whoops. And then I took a picture with him and then I was really enthusiastic. He looked a little weirded out, but.
You still talk to him? You still
no.
keep in touch?
No.
What's up, Choi? Hope you're listening.
Maybe one day.
I don't know if they allow podcasts in Korea.
Was the communication difficult? Or?
Their English was a lot better than my Korean. But
oh,
there
yeah,
was
I'm
still,
sure.
There, yeah, there was a lot of charades that were played. And then generally got the idea. I think I still remember two phrases.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was Annyeong Haseyo is hello, but I think it's like polite hello, and then Kamsumida is thank you.
That was from Arrested Development. Annyeong was it means hello, but then he kept saying that, and they thought it was his name, and they just called him Annyeong.
Yeah, calling him hello.
Yes.
Hey, hello.
He's like, and then in subtitles are like, why do they keep saying hello to me? Did you get to hang out like in the city, in the town?
Yeah, we got one of the last days we were there, we got to go out at like 10 o'clock in the morning. And then, you know, we went out to Pohung was the nearest city. And then we were just there all day. And it was, I think we got back at like 8 o'clock at night.
Dude, you ever had Korean barbecue, dude?
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
Awesome. Shit.
There's like six places right around here that have Korean barbecue, and they're all really
good. I'm sure it's better in Korea.
It probably is. I'm not even sure it's actually Korean. I feel they came over here and just made it up, like fucking Italian beef. And
oh my God, that was so
good. The do-it-yourself KBBQ is awesome.
That's kind of the one at the where every table has a burner.
And they have a burner, and then they bring out all the sides. And then
it's pretty much like 20 condiments and just plates of thinly sliced meat that you just cook and eat.
So
it's good. So fucking good, dude.
It's great.
And then soju.
Yeah, soju's great.
Is that the beer?
That's,
Korean beer?
No, it's liquor.
Oh, it's liquor. Yeah. Oh, like a sake, like their version of sake.
Yeah, I think it's – I think it's like 17 and a half.
That's the good
shit.
But
you don't taste it. So it's, you know, you'll have, I think
it's flavored, right?
Yeah. Some of them are.
Yeah, I've had soju.
It's creeper alcohol.
It sneaks up on you.
Like a ninja. Of course.
You and Choi kicking back soju in Korea.
No, we weren't with them. I think one of my buddies was, he was an interpreter. It was Dan Key. And he's a pretty good guy. So he helped us navigate the Korean culture.
Yeah.
Korea sounds
cool. Do people in Korea know how to, like, are they taught English or is it very
I think it's they pick it up more just because English is more widespread than Korean. So it's so like I said, it's their English was a lot better than my Korean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very, very polite people.
Here's the segue. Korea, home of birth of esports, in a way. So, yeah, huge esports.
Huge, yeah.
And Jim plays League of Legends, don't you, Jim?
I do.
Okay, I don't know anything about League of Legends, but I know that it's an esport.
Yep.
What do you like about the League of Legends?
It's just fun. I don't, because I have one of my buddies from my unit. He got me into it, and then it was Omari.
Do you watch the tournaments and shit?
I did a little bit last year, and then this year I was following the Renegades, because they had the first pro female player. So I was like, I really want to go and support them so that hopefully more girls like my really nerdy hobby.
Right on.
That'd be awesome, right?
Yeah. I think esports are going to blow up, dude. I think it's on the verge.
I remember you saying that.
I got really mad when he said that.
That's why I say it. Esports is going to be bigger than football. No, it's not. I mean, it's a very interesting growing thing. Yeah. And, Korea, kind of like, it's huge there.
Did you listen to our esports show?
I did. Yeah, it's. I mean, I think the market's pretty much as big as it's going to get in this country.
What does it need to like get to the next level?
I don't think it can. I think it's, you know, it's about as big as it's going to get, just because there's too many. Because it's tough to get into, because you have to go in and then, you know, it's, you're calculating, you know, you're. Damage per second output, and you're just all kinds of shit, and then it's all
like
the items,
and
it's then there's the huge meta game around it, and it's just you know, I mean, it's just not an
easy
thing to get
into. It needs one like really big sponsor to just
I don't know about that. I think it, I mean, it's never going to be on traditional TV, in my opinion, because it's just not made for that.
Well, I think a lot of the problem is people are like, I don't understand watching people play video games. Explain the why that's what you like about that.
What I like watching about people,
yeah,
watching.
I mean, it's
play.
I mean, it's the same sort of thrill I get as watching sports. But then, why I don't think it's going to get any bigger is just because it's a lot harder to understand esports and especially League of Legends
if you don't play it.
Yeah, because if you don't understand the metagame to it, then a lot of what goes on just goes over your head.
Yeah, which I think that's where, like, that Rocket League, I think it's called, is kind of, it's just like car soccer.
Yeah.
So there's a format where it's a sport, anybody can pick up the rules easily, but then if you want the more complicated, if you're into the League of Legends, I don't know, it's kind of interesting.
You just want it to take over.
Just want it to take down the jocks, goddammit.
Oh, yeah.
Look, they preempted Legends of Tomorrow for basketball, all right? Why couldn't you just show both? I watched it. Is it on already? I watched it on demand. It's on tonight, actually. It airs tonight.
Okay.
All right, so let's get to all that. When do you have time to write comic books?
You know, in between classes or weekends, whenever, you know, just whenever I find the time.
So this this story that you pitched to Greyhaven Comics that Andrew Gildy also started with, and we've talked about them. It's a really great company where they take submissions from anybody, and they're always looking for artists and writers and colorists and letterers. Listener, if you want to check out and submit, I will have all the notes in the show notes, all the links, jockandnerd.com/93. So what was this the first story you pitched, like, right off the bat? You're like, I just have this idea. I'm going to send it to him.
Yeah, it's because I was walking to the athletic center on campus for practice, and, you know, I'm just absentmindedly flipping through my phone, and then I think it was right around when Andrew was on.
Okay.
So I saw that, and I was just like, man, I should really get on that. So, you know, I looked, and then I saw, you know, they're taking submissions for You Are Not Alone 4, and I was like, fuck it, why not?
So let me to explain to the listener, in case you are a writer out there and you have some stories you want to pitch. Basically, right now they have open submissions for – they make their anthologies, right? So there's a bunch of stories by different writers and artists. They have these three basic anthologies that they are accepting submissions for. One's called The Gathering, which is a horror 5, which I think that's the one Andrew had on the last one.
And he was I Spy.
Oh, it was I Spy, so it was a different. So that's their horror genre, and they have one, The Gathering Music, and it features stories inspired by music. And the last one is You Are Not Alone 4. It's an ongoing anti-bullying anthology aimed at younger teen readers, so like a young adult kind of story. And what was the story you pitched for this? You Are Not Alone.
It's called They're Out There.
Okay.
And it follows he's this alien boy, and then it's like the Martians in the DCU where they're all psychic.
Okay.
But then he was born without that psychic ability to, you know, read and speak to people psychically.
Okay.
So that isolates him a lot from his, you know, little school friends. And so a lot of times he'll say stuff or he'll do stuff that, you know, that makes people mad because he doesn't realize that what he's saying, you know, this girl's mom had just died. And then he says something about that. And then everyone gets really mad at him because it's like, dude, her mom just died.
But he's the only one that can't read.
Yeah, but he doesn't know that. So then so he's in there, and then he's sort of struggling with this. And then he meets a friend who, you know, she's just like, oh, that's cool. You know, this is one person in our whole species that is unique. And so that helps him sort of get a new perspective on it.
Is that like an analogy for like someone moving to a new place or
for high functioning autism?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Where you know not everyone, you know, not every case of autism gets diagnosed in kids, and then so it's an allegory.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Because they are like, why, you know, why am I different when you're really maybe not different? Well, it's
autism. Sometimes you can't pick up social cues,
yeah,
right? Yeah. So,
oh,
but high function autism.
Is this story? So are these? Is this? It's set on Earth. These are people. It's like
no. This is not. In aliens. Well, they're all aliens.
So it's just your setting would be just any kind of wildly sci-fi planet.
Why did you pick autism as an allegory?
Well, I had a tough time fitting in as a kid, especially at, you know, that 10 to 14 age range.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were, you know, just kind of, you know, so I learned, you know, so it's one of those things where I saw that thing that was going on, and I was like, this is something that I can relate to, this, you know, not being able to fit in and not understanding why. So I figured, you know, it's good that something like this should get attention from people.
So relatable on on so many levels.
Yeah. Well, and it's also something, I mean, if you can speak to it, it's easier to write about.
Yeah.
And
that's awesome.
I mean, I feel like every generation has stuff like this. Like for a while it was like ADHD. I mean, myself, right away it makes me think of, I don't know if you listened, that, you know, I had vitiligo growing up, and you know, between the ages of 6 to like my early 20s, I was all like patchy skin, like physically patchy, like clearly not like anybody else, you know. And so people stare and stuff, and a bit, and I was always like, why, you know, why was I different? Why did I get picked? And it was hard to fit in, to even try to fucking. Yeah. But then you meet those people who are like, look, you're cool. I don't even see your skin disorder.
Yeah.
You know, kind of in the same way. And it means
your
so
voice
much.
Fucked up too when you were a kid.
What do you mean?
Like it is now.
No, I was when, the minute I came out, I was like, hey, everybody, how's it going? I was bored with this.
I'm just giving you shit. What do you mean my voice is fucked up?
You're talking about fucked up. It's glorious.
Your voice is like straight out of like a comic or like a cartoon.
Straight out of Compton, yeah. I said you were going to say.
Yeah, no, not out of Compton. Your voice is not from Compton.
Crazy motherfucker named the Nerd. I was going to say, I had an idea for a children's book a lot like that, dealing with, for kids with vitiligo. And I'll tell you, but someone's going to steal it. Don't steal it. Patent pending, listener. Basically, I wanted to make a book. It was a children's book about a kid who had vitiligo, and he would, every day he'd sit outside his window and he'd watch kids play. Yep. But he was too shy to join them or to like wear shorts and short sleeve shirts and go out there. And so he would retreat into his fantasy land where everything he played with had different color spots on it. Like there would be patterns and like
lots of cow toys.
Like cows and pinto ponies, and like, so he would fit right in, right? And then one day he meets someone who's like, hey, want to come play with us? And he realizes that the kids aren't judging him, and they just see him. And then the next time you see him in his fantasy world, all the other kids are there with him, playing with him.
Oh shit!
There you go.
Oh shit!
But I've had this idea for years, and I want to illustrate it, and I should fucking illustrate it.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, Imran.
Hey, Rug Boy.
Wouldn't it be great, since we're putting out all these great shows and great content, that our listeners could support us in some kind of way, maybe with a website or something?
You know what? I got an idea. Hang tight, I'll be right back. Juggin' Nerd! All right, listener, we have a virtual tip jar.
Wowie zowie!
It's called Patreon. Visit jockandnerd.com/Patreon, and you can support the show and help us help you.
How you do that?
You can make monthly donations, whether it be a dollar, 50 cents, $5, or you can donate in one large sum, and you get bonus content, and it only helps improve the show by getting us on better platforms and better equipment.
Jocktastic! I hear change jingling in your pocket. Don't fucking fuck me over, guys. Do it!
Crisis for the geek kind. Top geek officials admit they underestimated the hipster's defense capability. Join the geek revolution and save the galaxy. Geeks from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future. They're doing their part. Are you? Want to know more? Join We Be Geeks and the Geek Revolution and save the world. Service guarantees citizenship. Listen to We Be Geeks podcast on iTunes and Stitcher or online at WeBeGeeks.net. We Be Geeks, your voice for the geek revolution.
Getting back to You Are Not Alone, when is that coming out?
It's coming out right around the start of the school year in next year.
So let's talk about this process. You said you just kind of – you pitched it on a whim, not thinking it's going to be anything. What was this whole process like?
It's – they – you know, you just email them, give your pitch, and then wait to hear back, and then
– were you surprised?
So it was, because months had gone by, and I hadn't heard anything. So I was just like, that was a fun experience, you know. And then one day, you know, I'm eating breakfast and, you know – rolling through my emails, and I was just like, your submission to You Are Not Alone 4. And I was just like, you got it. And I'm like, oh shit.
Geek Booner.
Oh shit.
I love this guy.
I like that he says
I love
like
this
that,
guy.
That tone.
But he gets one of these.
Talking
nerd.
Okay. Well, it's, you don't give me the soundboard, so it's just, I gotta make do.
We only have one. We can all share. Everyone wants to just,
so are you, you're
making app.
Just writing this?
Oh.
Are you drawing?
I'm writing this, and then the artist's name is Puck Saint.
Okay.
So how did that how did that work? How'd they match
they
you up with somebody?
Just match you up, and then I saw some of his works on Tumblr.
Okay,
and then so I saw that, and I was just like, yeah, this would definitely flow with the kind of story I was telling.
That guy's got a great name. What's his name?
Puck Saint.
No, that's his name.
That is
holy shit. That is all right. Here he is. Let's check out some of his work. Puck Saint is a great. Yeah. Oh, he's got very. It's like comic strip, expressive, nice lines.
Oh, yeah.
Imran knows about his art. I don't know shit about art.
No, I like this guy. It's good. This has good, like, young adult kind of sensibility. It would work.
Yeah, so I saw it, and I was – so they – my editor matched us up, and so he just said, like, hey, this is a guy that's going to be doing your art, and I was like, cool.
Cool.
Wow, and you have an editor already. I really love, like, I was reading their submission things now. If for anybody out there that wants to submit, they don't pay.
No, they do not.
But look at this experience you're getting. You are now working with an editor. They've matched you with an illustrator. This is everything that would happen in a real publisher.
Yeah. And so great now, company.
That's fantastic. I mean, Andrew Gildy had nothing but nice things to say. And I'm impressed with what they're doing. How long did it take you to write the whole script now from start to finish?
I think it was a couple days. It's, it's a 3-page script. So the biggest thing was just because, like I said, I just sort of threw it out there on a whim, and then
you're like, no shit, now I have to write this thing.
Yeah, I know. So it was kind of, I kind of put it off for a bit, like fuck, and then then I just sort of like wrote like, okay, so this is the pitch I gave them. So where do I go from there? And then. It was like one day I just sort of like wrote, just took a notebook, just scratched out a bunch of ideas. Then the second day I did a rough draft of the script. And then third day I revised all that and, went on from there.
And so they're going to work with you with the script probably.
It's he liked my first draft. And then right now I'm working with Coach Gildy. He's giving me a lot of feedback on that one. And so it's, just working through it.
How many pages do you get in there?
3 pages.
Yeah. So you really gotta
tell that story.
You gotta tell that story. You gotta really be, take out unnecessary shit.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, it's because I did it where it's, you know, a whole three-act structure.
Yeah,
perfect. It's like first page, second page, third page.
Now, how do you, what kind of format, I know there's different ways to write comic book scripts. Some guys will just write in prose, and then some guys will literally break it down panel by panel, page by page, what goes on.
Yeah, panel by panel, page by page. Oh, yeah, so. Because that's what I've always seen, you know, because you can see a lot of the professional scripts.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of the most successful ones, that's how they do it.
So you studied good scripts also.
I think studied might be a bit of an overstatement, but I've seen them.
I check some out.
Yeah.
I may have skimmed a few.
I might be familiar with
them. Yeah, and then all the work all the stuff I've ever done with Coach Yildi, that's how he writes them, so that I've, you know, imitate that a lot.
That's great. No, and as an artist like myself, I think starting out to get that direction, that specific, it's going to really help, you know, like someone starting out in the industry. Whereas once you get seasoned, maybe you want a little more looser script. Be like, look, let me have some fun with it. Just tell me what needs to happen.
Yeah.
That's cool.
How excited are you for this to come out eventually?
Fucking balls to the walls.
Yeah. And to hold it in your hand.
I know. I was doing backflips that whole day. I was just like, yes, I fucking rule.
Wait, when is it going to be done? You said?
Next fall it's coming out, okay. Start of the school year.
And how can you people get this?
Yeah, how do people get this?
It's online. They've got that mostly. I think that's where they do a lot of it. And then I think some stores sell it, but I've never actually been to one where it did. So
online,
online's probably the best way to do it. Yeah, greyhavencomics.com. And then they've got
wait, these are the anthologies? They're only $3.50? $3?
Yeah.
It's very affordable, listener. Check it out. They have a lot of stuff available. GreyHavenComics.com. Mm-hmm. Link in the show notes.
So you do this, okay. Mm-hmm. What's what do you want to...
Yeah, do you see yourself following Gildi in that sense?
Go? Well, I've got one idea that I think would work well for Image, some of the stuff they do. So my hope is find an artist, get some credibility to my name, and then maybe pitch something to Image, see what happens, or, you know, maybe again do a mini series like Gildi did, get it out there.
You know what I love about both your guys' stories is that they're not superhero stories. And the comic book medium is so much more than superheroes. It can be so effective in, like, you think about Mouse by Art Spiegelman. You ever read Mouse?
I have not, but I keep seeing it, and I'm just like, oh, I should read this.
It's a fucking Pulitzer Prize winning graphic novel about Nazis and World War II. It's unbelievable. And, you know, there's so much therapy that you can get through doing comic books and reading books.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I think that's one of the things that's holding comics back as a medium is the perception that it's just, you know, DC and Marvel, superhero stuff, and, you know, Crisis on Infinite Earths. All that. And
I think what's helping though is Image is actually helping this a lot though with like Walking Dead and all the other shit they're coming
Saga out
with.
And stuff. And you know, irony being that they started with superheroes.
Yep.
You know, and even myself, like when I was younger, I would write like all summers and like grade school to high school, I would write and draw comic books and just like make stupid shit. And it was always about superheroes. And when I got to art school in Brooklyn, there was a college book called Static Fish, and I wanted to write really personal, autobiographical kind of stories. And I did that. And a lot of people on the working on the book were like, wow, dude, I didn't realize it was possible to you know, to make a comic story and it be that personal and meaningful. And I was like inspired by the underground guys like Art Crumb and Art Spiegelman. And I love superheroes, but I always never wanted to write superheroes because it's so hard to write fucking superheroes. If you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
If there was, let's get it into this way.
Let's make a superhero.
But if there was a superhero that you had to choose right now currently out, who would you want to write?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's a hard one just because I haven't really been reading superheroes so much. But, I mean, I would, like, dream job would be writing Batman just because
it's fucking Batman. Everybody wants a Batman, whether it's on screen or on the page. Everybody wants
Zack
a Batman.
Zack Snyder wants Batman.
Oh, he wants it bad. He wants Batman's balls. But everybody wants a Batman under their belt, you know?
Under their, what are you going to say under their nut?
Under their nut, a notch on their belt. I was going to say, I got my metaphors.
I want my Batman under my
look,
nut.
Look,
it works. It works.
I'm nut all over Batman all the time.
No, oh, my God. You're an idiot.
I would have loved to. I mean, my dream was to draw a Spider-Man comic book. You know?
Sure,
what's
yeah.
the
Spider,
same
that's another good one, Spider-Man. But
there's a lot of, I mean, and those two characters, there's a lot you can do with a lot yeah. of those two. It's, you know.
Yeah.
They're easier to put on the paper and write for than like a Superman, for instance. Yeah.
I think my dream superhero job would be doing, like just taking the whole Batman continuity and then just doing like a definitive version of Batman where it's like, you know, you go right from the very beginning Whoa. All the way down to like how it ended with Batman Beyond or The Dark Knight Whoa. Returns and just write like a whole, like, like this is
just run through
Batman.
Its whole
the
career.
Batman anthology.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. Because there's so much stuff that you're like, I mean, at this point with a lot of characters, yeah. there's so much stuff you're like, is this canon? Does this actually yeah. fit in?
Well, we were talking earlier, and he also got into comic books with the New 52.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Like we did, and he also has kind of stopped like we did.
Because I think one of the problems is that DC's, they've really bought into this Frank Miller interpretation of superheroes,
yeah.
where it's like, you know, the dark and Diddy. Dark and gritty deconstructionist.
Dark
view.
And Diddy.
I like Dark Diddy. I think he likes to be called Puff, but
no, he goes by Diddy.
Oh,
no.
He goes by Diddy.
Yeah.
He can be whatever the fuck he wants to be.
We keep going. I'm sorry,
but yeah, and then and you know, it's like, but that doesn't work for every character for like every month. You know, it's, you no. can't have 20 years of dark and gritty Superman like. That's not Superman. It's Superman.
Well, a lot of people
fucking hopeful,
right? You read comics and you're looking for like hope and like the best of the human ideal
or an escape.
And when you constantly deconstruct the hero every month, it's like what the fuck? Like I don't want to see this.
Or it's like one time in 7 months,
right.
For over you know a $20 investment.
Yeah,
yeah. That's the other problem with the Snyder Batman is great, but
it's not even that. It's DC in general. I mean, they made when Superman. When the New 52 came out, Superman was kind of this like punk asshole sort of thing.
They all were.
Yeah, it was weird.
It's just my favorite New 52 Batman story. I think it was like issue 33.
Okay.
Where it was right after Zero Year.
Yeah.
And right during.
There was a one off story.
Yeah, where it was like he was chasing that serial killer.
Yes.
I was like, I read that and I was just, because, you know, Zero Year, I was just like, God, Scott Snyder fucking sucks. And I read that and I was just like, oh, no, wait, he's actually really good. It's just, you know, the editors are fucking him.
Well, and that was interesting because you're right. That's what I missed. Are these single one off? Yeah. Tell me a good crime story with Batman, a good detective, maybe two or three issues. Let's not make it a whole fucking 12 issue a year run where I'm just like sitting there waiting and you're giving me a little bit every month.
Snyder, I like Snyder, but he was like his long runs where he's just like kicking Batman every issue. It's like, fuck, this is not hopeful at all. Like Batman's getting his ass kicked all the time.
Because his when Dick Grayson was Batman with the Black Mirror, I read that. That was one of the ones that Gildy gave me, and I read that, and I was just like, "Damn, this is really fucking awesome."
That was when Bruce was going through time.
He was dead.
I think he was back at the time, but he was trying to organize Batman Inc.
Oh yeah.
And so he was just like, okay, Dick, yeah, you just keep being Batman. I got shit to do.
Listen, the Damian shit with Batman and Batman Inc. is phenomenal.
Yeah. I didn't read the Dick Grayson Damian stuff, but I've heard that stuff is really good.
Yeah,
it is. Because it's like Dick is like Robin in a Batman uniform. He's hopeful.
Yeah,
and you got Batman in a Robin uniform with Damian.
So they flip it. Fucking Damian Wayne is awesome though.
Oh my God, yeah.
That was.
He gets a lot of hate, but I just love it.
I love the little fucking snot-nosed punk. Like
that was
that's
one of the best ideas to give him a son that was like a killer like that.
Yeah. Every time someone, his comeback is always, oh yeah, well I'm a fucking Wayne, and then he fucks him up, and you're like, God damn, crushing a fucking bat in his hands.
Well, it's cool because like Batman's like this like darker hero that's like on the edge, but then you give him someone that's really like unhinged and he has to rein him back. So Batman is almost the light.
I'd love to see some of that in the movie somehow.
Like in they did the Son of Batman animated movie.
That was pretty good.
And then the whole time Damian's just like, let me drive, and Batman's just like, no. He's just like, I know how. He's like, no.
And like if you read Batman and Robin New 52, Peter Tomasi, like their dialogue is amazing father-son dialogue. Yeah. Like, it's so real.
It was good up until they brought him back. I thought.
Oh my god!
Well, of course, the guy has to die, and they got to bring him back. By the way, spoiler alert. I didn't know.
It's like 3 years old. Jesus, yeah,
that's true. But how awesome was it that Bruce goes to a fucking apocalypse and snatches his body back from Darkseid?
That was cool, but it's like again, but it wasn't even a year where it's like he died and then he's back.
Came back right away.
The best
and
issue,
it's like,
yeah.
Come on.
The best issue was when the issue after he died in Batman Inc. And it was Bruce, like, it wasn't, I don't think there was any writing in the whole issue. It was just pictures.
Oh, yeah.
And it was him, like, mourning Damian's death and Damian, like, writing him a letter, like, I'm sorry, but I know that this is, like, a bad thing to do, but I'm gonna help you. I'll never stop. And I respect you, Dad, something like that.
Well, he finds the letter from him, right? After he dies.
Yeah, he finds a letter that he wrote him.
And then he's like that, and then, like, Frankenstein is in it, and he's trying to stitch back. His like a creature to bring him back.
It got real fucking weird.
It got really fucking weird after.
No, I was in one of the stores I used to go to, and then, you know, the lady at the counter, she was like, Batman, he's prepared for every eventuality except his own sadness.
That's true.
Well, so going from Batman to, say, you're also a fan of Spider-Man.
Yep.
What do you like about Spider-Man?
I think my favorite one was the early Ultimate Spider-Man.
Okay.
Yeah, because they at the library, they had like the whole thing.
Yeah.
So it's just reading that, and then it's just like he's there, and then he's just, you know, cracking jokes, like, you know, or he's like going to stop bad guys, and he's just like, man, I can't believe I got out of the line at Taco Bell for this.
Or he's like worried about homework, and like, you know, he's in high school, and hopefully they take a little bit of this and put it in, you know, the Spider-Man reboot. It sounds like
I have faith.
They're going to do that. So far, dude, I got faith. Marvel has not messed up a character yet. Yeah. Really? Mm-hmm.
Those movies are great.
They are.
What are you geeking out about? Have you watched the Netflix stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Daredevil season two. That was awesome.
Jessica Jones and the first season?
Yep.
What do you think of that whole part of the MCU?
Nailed it.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Because it was especially, you know, I mean, you look at Jessica Jones, it's a good way to do a dark story without it being like this stereotypical, like, brooding dark story, you know, like the shit DC's doing.
Right. It was a good way to do, like he said, a darker story, but you gave her a reason to be dark. And it's an allegory for, like, PTSD.
And it's something everyone can, you know, a lot of people, I think, watching that who have gone through trauma. Yeah. It probably helped them immensely. What did you think of the two seasons of Daredevil? Did you like one better than the other?
I like the first one. I think they were both about equally good. I think the second season, there was a lot more just like cool shit. Where, you know, I mean, he's fighting undead ninjas.
Yeah. They are undead. That's why there's the heartbeats.
I don't even know.
They didn't really explain that. But, okay. Maybe
but then
next
I felt
season.
Like they kind of nerfed his powers. Where it's like he didn't seem to like his senses didn't seem as strong, and I was just like,
somebody did comment on our Daredevil episode. He goes, loves the season, but how did he know? Remember towards the end, he knows the papers. He points out the drawer for there's papers in that drawer.
Yeah.
He's like, how did he know the papers are in that drawer? Is like hearing paper part of his senses? And I was like, how the fuck did he know the fucking papers were in the drawer?
They've dumbed down his power to just super hearing.
I really wanted to see some fucking radar sense and a little bit more.
The world on fire.
Yeah, or more of just all of his senses.
There was one in season one where he's like to Rosario Dawson's character, your stitches just ripped. And she's like, how do you know that? He's like, I could taste like the zinc in the air.
That's cool.
That's cool. Yeah, I know. But then they didn't have that so much. I was just like, whoa.
Or even show me like his close-up of his finger running across a newspaper. And how he's like, he doesn't need Braille
because
he can feel the fucking ink on the thing. It's that sensitive.
Yeah, where it's they had that in the comics too, where it's when he was becoming the leader of the Hand, where he's just like, do you need a Braille copy? And he's like, fuck no.
Yeah, or even smell, which would be a lot like Wolverine, I guess. But if all your senses are enhanced, throw some smell shit in there. I don't know.
It was season one had my favorite moment where he's in the church and he's, you know, talking to the priest and he's like, do you believe in the devil, Father? And I was just like, oh, shit.
It's very man of sin.
Yeah. Kind of. Very, very Catholic.
Very, very Catholic.
Now, speaking of Catholic, you wrote some erotica. maybe that wasn't quite how I wanted to
segue.
Great
transition.
Fuck that up.
Oh, shit.
What kind of erotica?
It was so I have this one story that was the one where I was thinking like it would fit really well in Image, whereas there are these two characters, you know, they're girls, and so I was in Korea, and it was, you know, I had, you know, 4-hour posts, so I'm there, and I'm just like, well, shit, what do I do for 4 hours? So it was, you know, and didn't have access to certain things on the internet.
Okay, yeah, it's all censored.
So I was just like, all right, well, I'm gonna have to do this myself. And so it's, you know, I wrote it, and then it became kind of a thing in my unit where I was just like, all right, I'd write, and, you know, we just had story time, just tell, you know, one of the innumerable stupid ways that Marines pass time.
That's awesome. Wait, would you read these out loud?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I think it helped because it was, I could get the timing better.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, it's like a performance.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to recommend another podcast that's it's called Distorted View. It's very it's,
how many podcasts do you listen to? Why do you have all this time?
Well, I have like on my thing it's 47. I don't listen to them all the time, but Distorted View's been going on for like 12 years. It's very raunchy. Like he plays audio from porn and like just reads fucked up news articles. But every Tuesday he does this thing called Sextastic Tuesday where he reads really bad sex fan fiction.
Oh.
And it's usually like Mario Brothers or Bronies or like trans and it's and they're so badly written, like, and he does the voices, his comments are hilarious. It's the funniest fucking random shit.
Well, I'd like to think that the stuff I wrote is a bit, you know, more highbrow. It's,
okay,
but well, it's like there's this one Sunstone where it's it was like Steven Sajic. It's he's Croatian, so I'm gonna I fucked his name up. And he's on where it's this web comic where it's about, you know, this lesbian BDSM couple, but then it's like all it's this super emotional thing where it's, you know, I mean, there's a lot of like really kinky shit in there, but it's their sexuality informs who they are as characters and their whole, you know, romance arc and everything that they're doing. And it's a part of them, but it's not like just straight up porn.
That's not bad.
You
I mean,
know what that reminds me of not 50 Shades of Grey. So no.
Fuck 50 Shades.
You still haven't read Sex Criminals.
No, I still need to read that.
But, that's really good.
I mean, Jessica Jones is an erotica, but even the sex scenes in there
were
for a reason, you know, the positions of like, when she's banging Luke Cage and she doesn't want to look at him. She's like very like ashamed. But then like towards the middle or whatever, she's like riding him and she's like empowered. Oh,
yeah. Well, the women in all the sex scenes, they had the power positions and all of those. You know, if you notice, they flipped it around. It was so well done. Plus, that strip you described, like the beauty of webcomics is like you niche down and people who relate to that will find that. And I'm sure people who are in relationships like that love that comic strip because they're like, man, I didn't think anybody else would be able to relate to this.
He has the trade paperbacks out too. He's up through 4 volumes. Everyone should go and buy it from their local comic book store.
You ever think of sequential arting your erotic stories?
Maybe. I can't draw. That's the problem.
Well, I mean, no, you'd find someone, but you have stories.
I could. Hey.
And, you know, porn always sells, man.
In any
medium, it's there first. I like this last thing you wrote here is how you plan to live your 20s. This is very ambitious and very idealistic, and it's such a great dreamer-like idea.
Yeah, so it's – so again, hopefully, you know, I go and then I get where I'm, you know, making enough money writing comics. And then, you know, they've got conventions. So my thought was, you know, get a pickup truck, throw a mattress in the back, and then just sort of go from – just hit the road and
– Comic-Con, you know, to Comic-Con.
Yeah, and then – you know, and then because it's, you know, I just need a, you know, a laptop and some internet connection and just that's how I make my money and then just sort of see what's out there and, you know, go and have a bunch of crazy adventures.
That sounds fucking awesome. Fun. And then you get life experience.
Yep.
You're much more of an adventurer than I ever will be.
I remember when I was 20 and I was hopeful and I had dreams.
Don't
and ambition.
Shut down this guy's dreams.
I'm just saying I've been fucking do it. Doesn't mean it can't be done. But it was very Catcher in the Rye to me when you wrote that. Have you read Catcher in the Rye?
I've written a couple papers on it.
Oh, really?
I haven't read
that book. Book made me want to like go hitchhike and like just go on my own.
I think that book is like required reading in like high school.
Yeah, it is.
That's why I didn't read it.
It's like that one, The Giver.
I never read The Giver.
Of Mice
I read
and
it.
Men.
I read The Giver read in junior high.
What's The Giver about?
Dystopian, where it's this community, and then there's the one guy who he has all the memories from before the community, so then he gives them to the guy who's going to succeed him.
To keep it going.
Yeah, so it's so he has the wisdom of that experience.
Oh.
But then, yeah, it's just, but then it's like a world without color or music, and so he's just kind of like, wait, the fuck? This is fucked up.
That sounds like a good book.
It was good.
There's another one, the biggest game where the guy's hunting humans.
Oh,
on
the
island.
Dead,
the deadliest,
most dangerous,
the
game.
Most dangerous game. That was that's pretty just, good. Oh, yeah. That's a fucking good really that. One. That's a fucking good one.
I need to start reading again.
No, you don't. Books on tape. I don't know.
No, books on tape.
Comic books, man.
That's true. I stopped. I recently have, yeah. I'm almost like out of reading comic books because.
What was the Nazi one? Uber.
Uber, yeah,
dude,
that was.
Tell the listener about Uber. This sounds awesome.
So it's written by.
Car, right?
It's a car ride. It's a competitor to Lyft.
Car app. Yeah.
You
yeah.
may get stabbed. I don't know.
No, yeah. Shut up. Stop saying that.
No, but it's written by Kieran Gillen.
Kieran Gillen.
His comic.
And
right?
it's yes. It's an alternate history where right at right in like near the end of the fall of Berlin, like I think the first panel is Hitler's about to. Blow his head off, and then he, and then someone comes in and be like, "Wait, no, it's okay." And then it turns out they had this super soldier army that they used, and then they smashed most of the Russian forces that were, that were poised to take Berlin. And then it's just World War II front in that kind of world where it's like these crazy 10-foot tall superhumans that can melt shit with their eyes. And then
that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah, and then it's just the war escalating from there, and how everything like how that plays out, where the Allies are racing to try and get stuff, and and then just to try and hit them back. But it's
that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's five trade paperbacks.
It seems to touch upon a part of history that I like is the research the Nazis and the Japanese were doing in World War II, like the biological weapons and
that we were saying they were they probably thought they could do this for real. I bet at some point they had just a whole bunch of crazy ideas that let's try this.
Yeah, our crazy idea just came out on top first.
Yep.
Yeah, we hit them first. Although they did, they got to the A-bomb before, didn't they hit London with an A-bomb that they developed?
No, the only two nuclear weapons that were ever used were Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And then there were a bunch of test ones. But
do you know have you studied what the Japanese or the Germans were trying to build?
A little bit. It's mostly like, documentaries back on the History Channel when it was, doing history.
Yeah. No, that'll do history on the History
Channel. Yeah, so
it's just aliens.
No, they do a lot of reality shows.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, no, but
it's people on History Channel.
I don't care. I just the History Channel burned every ounce of goodwill I had for it.
You reminded me of this. Have you guys heard of this Russian superhero movie that's coming out? It's called Guardians. It's pretty crazy. Let me see if I can find the synopsis. And there's two trailers. Look, we're just gonna watch the trailers real quick, and then. Okay, so look, there's a guy who's a werebear. He turns into a giant bear, and then this guy's got this crazy sickle, and he moves really fast. There's a girl that breathes underwater, and it's a crazy Russian superhero movie. Juggernaut nerd, listen, we just watched two trailers for the soon to be released Russian superhero movie called Guardians: Soviet Union Superheroes.
Is this coming out in Russia?
It's coming out in Russia. The second one has a dude with two huge sickles who moves like Quicksilver, slicing up like Asian gangsters in the desert that are shooting at him with machine guns. I mean,
geek boner.
That's pretty sick, dude, for a Russian production. I've never seen Russian movies like that.
I've never seen a Russian movie.
You figure Putin was just like, all right, you've got your Captain America. Well, fuck you. We've got four guys.
Yeah, we got. I mean, you see like a broken down Stalin statue in that first one. And,
that was Lenin, bro.
I mean, Lenin. I knew I was going to say though.
History, man. You can't
see,
get anything past the history.
I was just testing Jim. You passed.
Geek moment.
But that looks pretty sick, dude. That got my interest. I was like, what is this? Guardians. This is fucking crazy. Listen, anytime you got a big bear with a machine gun strapped to his back, that's awesome. I'll watch that.
Can't go wrong.
I'll buy that in a second. Moving on. The Jock and Nerd Podcast. Jim, Thank you very much for coming in. Jim McPike, where can the listener say hi to you if they want to
go on DeviantArt? I am under the name Bard Brehon. It's B-A-R-D-B-R-E-H-O-N.
Okay, what is that? Because I Googled that, and hold on, I found this page. Where'd it go? Oh, is this you? What is this?
That is me. Okay, that is my League of Legends profile.
I thought, because it's on a website called lolking.net.
Makes sense.
That is the first I am seeing that.
Oh, you didn't know that was there?
I had no fucking idea.
You don't Google yourself? I was like, what's Bard? Where's that name from?
Well, it's awesome. The Brehon part comes from Brehon Law, which was an ancient Irish body of law.
Ooh.
From it, it predated the Christianization of Ireland and then carried on until the English conquest. And then part of what it did was it gave musicians, or these court musicians, you know, they call them bards.
Right.
It gave them a special status similar to what knights had in other European courts.
Oh, so this is like the musician's law in Ireland.
It's not so much, but it's because the bards, they were the keepers of the history and the mythology of Ireland. Yeah, they were the storytellers. So I opted to take a pen name because of the NCAA and their let's call them rules against profiting off of your own name. Mm, so yeah. I figured that would be a good one. And then,
wait a minute, because you wrestle in college, you can't use your name to profit off of because they own your ass.
You can't even
like if you're a famous, even if like football player, you can't sign an autograph for money or make. You can't do it
in college, under the NCAA. Yet the NCAA can make millions and millions of dollars off of you. How?
Oh, shit.
I don't see how that's fair at all.
No, it's not fair.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah. Well, their argument is you're getting a free education.
There's a lot of bullshit wrapped up in their argument, but that's.
I'd rather have the money. I don't think you have a choice.
I'm not even on scholarship, so I'm not even getting anything.
I love the name, man. That is some fucking deep cut obscure history research shit. I was like, what is Bard Brehon? And then I saw this and I'm like, I think this is a video game thing.
So it's a lot of my, a lot of my social media and gaming. That's just kind of what I use.
Right on.
Get my name out there.
I will put all those links in the show notes. So DeviantArt, Bard Brehon.
So should we?
Brehon.
Brehon. Oh, that's how you say it.
Should we title the show Jim McPike or Bard Brehon?
Either.
Okay.
So long as that's in there, put the spelling in there just because Irish spelling is very difficult.
Yeah. It'll all be in there. Wait, so can we put your name in the title of this episode? No, you're not making any money. That'll be fine, yeah. NCAA.
No, I'm not. No. They can,
he's not getting paid. We didn't pay him.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, because we got no money.
Nope.
Which is why you should.
Speaking of no money, we got a way that you guys can help us out. And if you want some awesome bonus audio, we have tons of fun stuff on our Patreon page.
Yep.
Go to jockandnerd.com/Patreon.
Or patreon.com/jockandnerd.
Works both ways. Yep. You can hear some post-show from our Batman vs. Superman and Daredevil shows. You can download Rugtones. Ringtones for your phone by Rockboy.
Terrific.
They are fantastic. And the clip that's up there is unedited. It's him thinking of things. It's the funniest fucking thing ever. Like
really
that alone is worth the price of a dollar a month on the Patreon. And we also have some merch. That helps us out. If you want a t-shirt or a hoodie or a mug.
Or anything you can slap our fucking faces on.
Yeah, pretty much take our logo and put it on all these different things. jockandnerd.com/shop. Check it out.
Shout out to Chris Richardson out in England.
Oh, that's right. One of our listeners and podcast pals, they have a podcast in the UK. Chris Richardson has bought a shirt. Thank you so much.
Yeet,
I'm going to put a picture of that shirt in the show notes. I was so excited. He like tweeted out, he's repping our shit overseas, dude.
It's awesome.
We're officially arrived in Northumberland.
When you make it in Northumberland, it's like Hollywood of England.
It is the Holly.
You made it. You know?
I don't even know what that means.
Nah, probably not.
Jim, we also do live shows every week on this thing called Blab. You heard of the Blab?
I've heard you guys mention it.
All right. We're spreading awareness. Basically, once a week, you can check out our Twitter or our front page on our website. You'll see a scheduled show. We get on with Rugboy. We talk about the week's news and TV shows.
It's a live show.
It's a live show. We got people commenting. It's so much fun. You can join us. It's like you could watch
us
live.
If you have a Twitter, you can join us.
All you need is a Twitter account. And so just check out jockandnerd.com/live. For all the details, and you can link to our YouTube and our Blab pages.
Should we go into how you can contact us?
How can they contact us? Like, how did Jim contact
us? Bard over here. you can go to jockandnerd.com/contact, and there's like four or five different ways that you can reach out to us via email, Twitter, Facebook, voicemail, SpeakPipe. Whatever the fuck else Imran wants to throw in there.
Let us know if you are a creator or someone who writes and wants to draw. And we'd love to hear your story and spread the word out. Also, Jim, I want to mention, what do you think if people are out there who are artists and they're maybe looking for a writer to collaborate with?
Fuck yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why we're here. Reach out to my boy Jim McPike. All his info will be in the show notes. Mm-hmm. And we may start a relationship. I mean, that's what, you know, we're helping each other out. Got Same it. Thing with Gildy.
A polygamous relationship?
It's a very art polygamous.
Polyamorous.
That's it. Polyamorous. Which is a thing now. There's a podcast about that too also.
I don't want this recommendation.
How to have a polyamorous relationship. But really, there's niches for everything, man. You can talk about anything. There's someone there who's like, yeah, I didn't think anybody else knew was into this.
It's the internet, man.
It is the internet. Listener, if you like what you hear, definitely subscribe to the show. And leave us a rating and review in iTunes. We haven't got one in a while. Jim, you should leave us a review after the show comes out. Maybe you did.
Maybe you have. Who knows?
You probably have. We've read a bunch, but just go to jockandnerd.com/review.
I'll put another one.
Do another one. Leave one under Bard Brian. Yep. The Bard says the number one podcast in this side of the Mississippi. and finally, everybody, just tell somebody. Turn someone out of the show. Spread the geekery. I'd love the listener to podcast guest story. And this is how we spread the word, by helping out independent people, people wanting to get stuff done, creators who want to be heard, who want to be seen, want to be read.
Yeah, just tell a friend.
Tell a friend. Give him one of those.
Jockin' Nerd!
Right on. Jim, man, thanks for,
man. Thanks for coming
hanging
on.
Out. It was a pleasure to get to know you. I feel like we made another friend. I love
Hell
making
yeah.
friends.
Fuck yeah.
This has been...
he can kick people's ass if we...
That's
if
right. We got two bodyguards.
If anyone wants to mess with you.
I might have to hire Andrew and Jim to be my bodyguards.
Making friends and kicking fucking ass.
Taking names, kicking ass, making friends. That's what we do at the Jock and Nerd Podcast. Thanks for listening. My name is Imran.
My name's Anthony.
He's the jock.
And he's a nerd.
Hey, we'll hear you next time.